Would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13? Matthew chapter 13, and as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 45 and 46. Matthew chapter 13, and verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. We find the Lord Jesus often referring to the kingdom of heaven. And as we try and understand what he is speaking about in parables and elsewhere when he refers to the kingdom of heaven, we have to be aware of certain things. One is this, that there is no real distinction between the phrase kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. If you look at the gospel narratives, you'll find that some of these parables, as they appear elsewhere, then the kingdom of God is used instead of the phrase kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is perhaps what we might think of as a very Jewish phrase. You think of how the Jews tended to avoid the name of God. Well, here is one way of avoiding the name of God, by saying the kingdom of God, by saying the kingdom of heaven. There are those, as they try and interpret scripture, try and make a division between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Well, they are in error, because it is evident that, generally speaking, these phrases are interchangeable. Another thing we have to bear in mind is that the phrase kingdom of heaven can mean different things. It is a term that embraces a variety of concepts. And of course, that makes it harder for us to try and work out what it means in the context. Kingdom speaks of a reign, the reign of God, the reign of the God of heaven. And so the kingdom of heaven can mean the dominion and the rule of the reign of God. The fact that he is reigning and ruling, or the place, or the area, or all those who are under the dominion of Christ, or those who acknowledge the dominion, the reign of God. Sometimes it can refer to the church, and that's obvious in the parable of the wheat and the tares, the fact that there will, even in the purest of churches, always be a mixture in this world. The church will only be completely pure and without any false professors in heaven. Sometimes the phrase kingdom of heaven can mean salvation. And that's what we find here. Sometimes it's referring especially to the blessings of salvation in heaven. Well, it's evident here in this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. There, the kingdom of heaven is a reference to salvation and all the blessings of salvation which are to be found in Jesus Christ. And this parable of the pearl of great price, as we know it, is similar but not identical to the previous verse and that parable of the hidden treasure. You have a person seeking for salvation. This is the pearl merchant. and he finds salvation. And he is like the pearl merchant, finding the best of pearls, and he sells all to obtain it. We'll notice three things as we unfold the truth. First of all, the preciousness of the pearl. Then secondly, the discovery of the pearl. And then thirdly, the obtaining of the pearl. First of all, we shall notice the preciousness of the pearl. We read that he had found one pearl of great price and went and sold all that he had and bought it. So here he is. This pearl merchant has been in the market. He's seen one pearl that is exquisite. It is beautiful. It is the best he has ever seen, and he never imagines he will discover one like it again. And it being such a rare thing and beyond comparison, we find him setting his heart on buying it. He will be the merchant with the best of pearls. A rare thing. Well, salvation is only to be found in one place, in Jesus Christ. There is only one name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Why is it that we compare Christ and salvation in Christ to this pearl of great price? Why does Christ do that? Well, we might suggest a few reasons. The first is this, because the gospel brings precious blessings. And if the gospel brings precious blessings, then indeed it must be a precious thing. What blessings are bound up with Jesus Christ, the blessings he gives to those who trust in him? Well, we begin perhaps with the forgiveness of sins. When you think of how to be justified, to be declared as forgiven and righteous and accepted by God in his sight, is that not a blessing above all other blessings? Because by nature, you and I are children of wrath, sinners who are heading to destruction, fit only to be cast away like the fish that we read of in the parable of the net cast into the sea. There are many warnings in these parables of the danger of the loss of the soul. And if you have felt what it is to be a sinner, then your desire will be to discover a way of forgiveness. A troubled conscience wants relief. And where's that to be found? Well, the gospel tells us very simply, in Jesus Christ. Being justified through faith, we have peace with God. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Friend, are these not wonderful truths? That this man is one who receives sinners, one who gives the forgiveness of sin to be reconciled to God. Well, does that not make this a wonderful blessing? Would you not have it and therefore be delivered from the wrath that otherwise you deserve because you're a sinner, as we are all sinners, and God hates sin, and God has said it is that which earns us death now and forever. A precious blessing to be forgiven and so delivered from the wrath to come. But there's more blessings than that in the gospel. With Christ, there is not only the forgiveness of sins, there is adoption into the family of God. Those who have come to faith in Christ, they are adopted into God's family. They are known as, and not merely known as, but have all the rights and privileges of the children of God. You know, in this world, people are lonely. What makes people lonely? It's sin. Because sin is the cause of all the different problems between people. Sin alienates us not only from God, but from one another. But God takes a solitary and he sets them in families. If you're a believer tonight, you have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. Friend, would you not have the protection of a heavenly Father? Would you not have the provision of a heavenly Father? Is it not a blessing to have the presence of a heavenly Father? An access to go to him with confidence and tell him our problems and tell him our needs. What an honor. Because what does God do for poor sinners? He takes them from the dunghill. That's where we are, and we've put ourselves by our sin. The dunghill's a rubbish heap. I don't know what hell will be like. What a fearful thing to be cast into hell, onto the rubbish heap, where the fire burneth, where the fire continues to burn, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What an awful place. But to be taken from such a place, that's at least where you're heading, to be set amongst the princes, to be counted a prince and a brother of Christ. What a blessing. That's what the gospel brings. What else? Well, there's sanctification. What does that mean? Well, it simply means this: deliverance from the actual being and presence of sin, from the power of sin. It means the ability to actually turn from what is wrong and the ability to do what is right, to turn from what displeases God and to be enabled to do what pleases him. You see, the Lord gives a new heart in the gospel. And he causes sin no longer to dominate. He gives his Spirit to enable the soul to turn from sin. Does sin grieve you, though it might trouble you? Isn't that what the devil is good at? Luring you into sin and then terrifying you, telling you you've got no hope. And you might as well give up and curse God and die. Give up the thought of salvation. Maybe for others, it's not for you. But in the gospel, there is a promise of help to fight against sin, of the Spirit to lead and to guide, and of the promise of one day being perfect. Well, that won't be till heaven. But all who are in heaven are like Christ, perfect. What a thought, what a wonderful thought, what a wonderful blessing. There's also the friendship of the triune God. To have God's presence on earth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. To have God as your friend and your helper. In this world full of trials and problems and dangers, to have Christ as an elder brother to lead and guide you, to be a shepherd who will restore you when you stray, to have the Holy Spirit to comfort you. And yes, there's the hope of heaven. A Father's house of many mansions, hope in the face of death. All these blessings, we've just touched upon them. They are bound up in the gospel. What precious blessings. You say these things are nothing. Aren't you saying, well, yes, to know I'm forgiven. And to know that I've got peace with God. And to know that I can have his friendship and to know that I can one day face death with hope, that's a real blessing. What precious blessings bound up with Christ. The gospel brings precious blessings. Notice also the gospel brings pure blessings. Here was a goodly peril, a beautiful peril, a pure peril. Now, perils are not necessarily uncommon things. Many might be discolored, half-formed, misshapen. It's rarely that you will find a good peril. And this is the most exquisite peril. It is a peril of great price. In other words, here was a peril with which there were no shortcomings. And this man was going to have it and look at it and prize it. And how proud he would be. Because while there might be other merchants who have their perils and sell them, he has the best one that there is. Well, in the gospel, is it not pure and beautiful? Is it that not that in which, with which there is no shortcomings and which will ever delight the person who sees it? Pure blessings. How unlike the world. The world offers you many things. Satan offers you many things. You yourself promise yourself many things. And often what might seem attractive ends up just becoming a snare. And usually it doesn't live up to its expectations. All that this world offers us never really adds up to what it appears. There are many things which are positively harmful to people, and yet they pursue them. You and I must beware of the latter end of things and realize there's only one thing at the end of the day that matters. It doesn't matter whether you've got a good job or not, whether you've got are well thought of by people or not, whether you have the best of possessions or not, there's one thing that matters. And only one thing that will last, to have Christ and salvation with him. And with him there are pure blessings. Value. Everything in the light of eternity. Because unless you do that, you will assess it in the wrong way. It is eternal things which will do your soul good. You might notice also that these gospel blessings are precariously obtained blessings. It's interesting that these perils, which are goodly perils, are rare because of the process by which they form. You have to find the grain of sand getting into the, not just into the shell, not in between the flesh of the, say, the oyster and the shell itself, but actually within the muscle more, where the grain of sand can then be perfectly coated as it irritates the creature, the shellfish, and the shellfish secretes calcium carbonate to cover it so that there is a perfectly round, perfectly formed pearl produced. The pearl itself, the shellfish itself receives injury in order to actually produce the goodly pearl. But it's not just that. You think of how they're brought to market. There's the shellfish in the ocean, and in the east of Asia, you find the pearl fishers, and they have to dive down, and there are many who have lost their lives in order to try and find the pearls that they can then sell in the market. Well, isn't that a reminder to us that it was at great cost, that the blessings of the gospel were provided? It was more than mere injury. It was more than merely someone risking their life. Christ had to give his life. Who is he? He's not just a man. We would think it was a great loss if it was the best of people, the godliest of the saints, who had to go and to endure the sufferings of the cross. But friend, it was more than that. It wasn't even an angel. It was the Son of God in our nature. How precious, how infinitely precious, a divine person in his human nature, suffering on the cross and bearing the sins of his people in order to save poor sinners. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. Do not take the blessings of salvation for granted, as if forgiveness is, well, easily to be provided, and all these other blessings. It took the incarnation and the death, the hellish death, because it was the death of the cross where he bore a living hell for his people. It took that to secure all the blessings of salvation. Let us prize these blessings and think often of them. Precious pearl, because it's a lasting thing, a permanent blessing. That's what the gospel brings. There were and there are many fake pearls. There's one thing true of all these fake pearls, whether they're made of plastic today or alabaster and things like that from years ago, they don't last. They don't last because they're fake. And they're easily discovered to be fake. They might look the part until you examine them a bit more closely. That's true of all the world gives us. It can look the part, but once you examine it a bit, you realize it's not what it promised, and it doesn't last. Whereas the blessings of the gospel last, and they will never tarnish. If you've lost the sense of excitement at the thought of all the blessings of the gospel, go back to where you started and study the truth and consider Christ and marvel at the grace of God. Take out, as it were, that pearl and look at it again. Compare it with others that you might marvel at what a glorious gospel we have. And the reality is, it's only going to increase in value in your own eyes if you stop and think of what forgiveness means now. Is that not a wonderful blessing? If you stop and think of what the hope of heaven means, well, it's a bit hypothetical when you're young and you're thinking, I've got my life ahead of me. But many of you are getting old. And I'm sure that aspect of the blessing is becoming more precious. And surely in heaven, well, then you'll really understand what it means to be a sinner saved by grace. Let's move on. Secondly, the discovery of the peril. The discovery of the peril. And you'll notice there's a contrast here. Verse 44, we find this man has been in the field and he stumbles across the treasure. Whereas here, the merchant man is seeking goodly pearls. He's searching for the best. As a reminder too, is that sometimes, as it were, people stumble into the way of salvation. It's not that they're looking for anything. You think of Saul of Tarsus. The last person he was looking for was Christ, when, as it were, he stumbled across him and was confronted by him on the road to Damascus. Whereas we might think of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, of how he is going from a foreign country, from a foreign court in a foreign country up to worship, returning, and he's reading the scriptures, and he's scratching his head, trying to make sense of it all. And there in the midst of his seeking, he finds the Lord. Well, here is someone who has been searching. And you'll notice his discovery comes because he is dissatisfied with what he had. The merchant, no doubt, has many pearls. After all, he trades in these pearls. And he knows a good pearl from one which isn't quite so good. But at the end of the day, he's always looking for a better one, or the prize pearl. He wasn't content with what he had. And he's seeking until he finds. There are some people, perhaps it's you, what you were or what you are now, and well, you're dissatisfied with life. It's lost some of its luster. The things that once you valued, well, you don't value these things anymore. You can't exactly explain why, but you've lost the taste and relish for certain things. You're looking for meaning. You're looking for happiness. You're looking for something. You're not finding it. Well, it's good. The things that do not last have lost something of their relish. And you're seeking what is better. Or it may be that you're dissatisfied with your religion. You know that you should honor God and worship God. And you find yourself, as you do so, dissatisfied. You don't have peace. You don't have joy. You don't have hope. You don't have what others have. And you want what others have. You're aware that you need more than just to begin through the routine of joining in the worship of God and even being diligent and doing things in your own home. You need more than that. You want a reality. You want a relationship with God. One that's real and living and touches the heart and gives you hope and gives you assurance of salvation. You're dissatisfied with what you have. Well, friend, that's a good thing. As long as you're seeking and seeking in the right place. And you find this man was seeking and he discovers the peril in the course of searching. He's diligent, and no doubt he's earnest, and he's persevering in his quest. Will you be like that if you are seeking? Be diligent and be earnest and persevere. Don't stop until you know that you have Christ. Because after all, that's the one thing you need. And the fact is that you cannot expect to discover Christ. You have no right to hope that you will come to the place of salvation if you're not in earnest in seeking the Lord. Now, the Lord may have mercy on you. He had mercy on Saul of Tarsus. So we're not saying that There is no hope if you are not in earnest. We are not saying that. But the reality is you have no right to expect, no right to presume that somehow things will work out in the end if you're not diligently seeking after the one thing needful. This man, if he's not going to the market and speaking with his associates and searching for a goodly peril, always with his eye out for the best, if he's not doing that, well, he's not going to find it. So it shall be with you. But aren't there promises? Seek and ye shall find. Are there not many things to encourage you? Friends, are you concerned about your soul and your need of Christ and that you don't have Christ? Well, listen to the word of God. Accept what he says. Study the word. Be under the word. Be under the preaching of the word. Never let your place be empty in the house of God. And pray that he would bless the truth. He has said in his word that he makes the reading and especially the preaching of the word an effectual means of salvation. We'll tell him these things and ask the Lord to make these things a blessing to you. And keep your focus on Christ and his work and your need of Christ. And seek to understand more what Christ has done. And the blessings that he gives. Why he is valued as a goodly pearl. Do these things. Because in searching and seeking, you shall find. But then notice thirdly, the obtaining of the pearl. Here's this man. And he's seeking. And no doubt he discovers one that he thinks is a pearl above all other pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, what does he do? He went and sold all that he had and bought it. You'll notice there's no hesitation. He immediately acts. Well, surely that's what you should do. Some people don't. They hesitate. They allow themselves to become distracted. Beware, the devil is active. Or the devil is so active. When the word is preached, and immediately after the word is preached, because he wants to snatch away the word and to leave you in a state of sin. The last thing he wants is for you to get a blessing under the truth. And therefore beware of doing anything that would either rob yourself of a blessing or rob others of a blessing. That's a most sinful thing to do. Here he is. He acts. And you and I should act as God's word speaks. And here he is saying, I must have him. Well, that's what happens when we get a glimpse of Christ. Beware of the danger of examining Christ and then discarding him. That will lead to eternal ruin. How many people are like the merchant man who may pick up the pearl and think, well, I don't know if that's just quite right. Throwing it away, someone else comes. Well, I'll take it. And as perhaps this most more understanding and knowledgeable person can see this is the pearl above all other pearls. You thought it was a bit of rubbish. Well, it's not. How frustrated the person who threw away the pearl would be. And how frustrated you will be in hell. Part of the agony of hell will be that everlasting frustration. How foolish I was. I heard of the Saviour. And I thought he was nothing. I rejected him when I could have had him. And now it's too late. And I am bound up in that prison of hell forever. You think of Judas. Offered so much, seen so much. And now in that place of eternal agony. And his own conscience gnawing away. What a fool. For 30 pieces of silver. I have ruined my soul forever. Do not be like him. Obtained because he did not hesitate. Obtained because he would ungrudgingly and willingly part with all for this peril. Friends, that must be you. What must you part with? Well, you must part with self-righteousness. That's one thing. And you're as well to part with it sooner rather than later, because at the end of the day, you're only deceiving yourself if you think you've got any righteousness anyway. It's a full figment of your own imagination to think you've got any righteousness of yourself whatsoever. All God's people here will see. All their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're embarrassed about them. And the very thought that God would see them for what they are just fills them with shame. Get rid of that self-righteousness. Remember that in Christ alone there is forgiveness. Oh, be like Paul. All these things that were gained to me I count but dung, because that's what they are, that I might gain Christ and be found in him. You'll never have this pearl unless you part with self-righteousness. Let your confidence be in Christ alone. And yes, there must be a parting with sin. Christ will not allow his righteousness to rest in the muddied soul, which is dead in sin. This peril shall not be smeared. You see, salvation is to holiness. And the seeker must give up his sin. He must forsake it. And perhaps your problem tonight is there are certain things you still cling to. Do you value them more than Christ and more the salvation of your soul? Stop and think. Be serious. Get real. And be done with whatever it is that keeps you from Christ. Now, we're not saying that the Christian is perfect. Every believer here tonight is very imperfect. He'll only be perfect in heaven. But when he sees sin, he tries to deal with that. Because he hates it. Because it harms himself, harms others, displeases God. Brings shame in Christ. Friend, you must part with all self-righteousness. You must part with sin. And yes, you must part with self. You might be saying, I want salvation. And yet your life at the end of the day is centered on yourself. To come to Christ is to have your life centered on Christ. It is to have that God-centered life that we were meant to have. That's why Jesus could say, if any man come after me, he must deny self, take up the cross, and follow me. Christ must be your master. Christ must be your all in all. Parting with self. Ah, perhaps you say, but that means giving up so much. Well, friend, the truth is, there's no one here tonight who has come to Christ who has given up anything that was worth keeping. They've given up nothing. But what was worthy of discarding, and have gained everything. You see, godliness is profitable for the life that now is and that which is to come. Peter could say, have we not given up things for thee? Jesus could say, no man has given up father, mother, son, daughter, house, field, you name it. No one's given up that for me in the kingdom, and will not in this life receive a hundredfold. And in the world to come, life everlasting. Let's conclude. Have you found this great pearl, this pearl of great price? Treasure it and admire it daily. You can picture this man going home at night, having been trading, taking out his pearl and saying, it's the best. I didn't see anything like it. I never will. But I've got this. It's mine. Admire Christ and the salvation that there is in him daily. Just as this man would keep the pearl safe, so you keep, as it were, that salvation safe. Your soul safe. Joy in Christ. And admiring Christ will keep you safe. Have you not as yet found this pearl of great price? Seek it. Seek it. And give up all that you might have it. Many have regretted the loss of Christ. No one ever yet or ever will regret having Christ. Seek him that you might have him and salvation in him. Let us pray.